You're listening to How You Doin' Bay County, a Mental Health Matters podcast with a local twist. Hey, how you doing, Bay County? I'm Amy Bright, Executive Director at Alignment Bay County, otherwise known as ABC, and co-hosting with me today is ABC board member and community advocate, Ms. Sonia Coldwell. Hey,
and good morning out there, Bay County. Beautiful day, by the way.
It really is. Before we jump into today's episode, I wanted to share a little background information on how this podcast came to be. How You Doin' Bay County is an initiative by Alignment Bay County, and we're a local, nonprofit, collective impact organization. We're focused on youth success from cradle to career, and one way we do that is by supporting families and our community as a whole. It's no secret, we've had a rough couple of years in Bay County lately, and one thing we've noticed, and along with our partner organizations, what we've noticed is that after these traumatic events that we've had, both children and adults struggled with their mental health and positive well-being. And the other thing that we observed was that friends, acquaintances, neighbors were taking the time to ask each other, "How you doing?" That question, along with the stress of hurricane recovery and a global pandemic, inspired us to create a local mental health resource. First, a website, howyoudoin.org, which has a local behavioral health directory, as well as other resources. And this podcast, How You Doin' Bay County. Our goal is to make finding behavioral health resources easier for our community and bring awareness that your mental health matters.
On today's episode, we're talking with Craig Seagrass, Marketing Director from Emerald Coast Behavioral Hospital. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
And how you doing?
I'm doing really good. Like you guys said in the intro, it has been a rough couple of years, 2 years for us here in Bay County. But, you know, we're resilient. We're moving past that that initial, you know, hurricane. And now the pandemic, things are opening back up. So we can go out and see friends again, hug people, go grab, you know, dinner. It's really good to be here with you guys in person and, you know, having things open back up.
I agree. And to see people smile without their masks on,
yes,
right?
Ma'am.
I'm tired of smiling with my eyes.
I know.
You know, when we talk about Emerald Coast behavioral, I want to zoom in on that word behavioral for a minute. What is it when you're saying behavioral? Who are the clients that you serve? And what are some of the work that you do?
Yeah, so, you know, behavioral, psychiatric has a negative connotation to it.
Mm-hmm.
It does. When you say that psychiatric center, psychiatric hospital, you know, a lot of people think back to Once Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And you know, or, you know, scary movies that they've seen, you know, a sane asylum or whatever. And so it just has that negative connotation. And the word I hate the most is crazy. People talking, you know, behavior can talk about a wide range of issues that deal with emotions, right? And
so
emotions are all kind of over the place, mm-hmm. and dealing with wide range.
I like that.
So, mm-hmm. you know.
Versus psychiatric.
Yeah,
you guys use behavioral versus psychiatric.
Right.
As a more
friendlier
word.
Approachable,
yeah.
mm-hmm. a word there. You're exactly right. You know, because we all have behavioral issues.
Exactly.
Everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them lie to you. Everyone does. You're not alone in that aspect. But, you know, the way I handle anxiety may be different than how you handle anxiety, Amy,
mm-hmm.
and then how you handle your anxieties. So, you know, for me and Amy, we may be fine. We can handle our anxiousness at times, but for you, you know, your anxiousness is at a level 10 when it peaks, and you have trouble calming yourself
mm-hmm.
and staying in that moment. So, you know, that's a behavioral issue
mm-hmm.
in itself. And then you have, you know, severe depression, you know, thoughts of suicidal ideation, which is thoughts of harming yourself,
mm-hmm.
harming others. And then you get into the, you know, the auditory visual hallucinations like schizophrenia. Yeah, that is psychiatric, but it's still behavioral health. So
okay.
the idea is really you want mental health because it is nerve-wracking, anxious, scary because it's not something you deal with all the time. When you get cold, when you get sick, you know what to do, right? You know
mm-hmm.
to go to the doctor and, you know, I'm going to get some medication, some antibiotics, and I'm going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
that those first mental health experiences for you and for your loved ones can be a little overwhelming. You don't know where to turn. Mm-hmm. So being able to get that help, being willing to get that help, mental health does still have a stigma. It does, but it's getting less.
And
it's
so,
getting less of a stigma.
On your website, just to you know, give an overview of the range of things that you guys address, it says Emerald Coast mission and value statements are to make a difference in the community.
Yes, ma'am.
To provide comfort during crisis, to share empathy and understanding, to have compassion and respect to help change lives. But like you said, when people hear psychiatric versus behavioral, it puts a little fear in their head, like someone's going to take me there if I get help, and the key will be thrown away. We all have heard those stories of, you know, someone being admitted and then they feel like they could never come home again. And I wanted to address, I saw on your website over and over the word in crisis. Mm-hmm. What does that mean when we see in crisis?
Yeah, you know, and so that's great. You know, what we want to do is so in crisis, you are, you know, actively suicidal or could be having thoughts of harming somebody else. You're having auditory visual hallucinations, you know, that are telling you to harm yourself or others. You know, your depression is overwhelming. So that's that in crisis mode. So the easiest way to think about us, okay, is that we are kind of like the emergency room or the ER of the psychiatric world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a behavioral health hospital like Emerald Coast, there's a few in our area and everything. So in Bay County, you have us and Life Management Center.
Okay.
Emerald Coast Behavioral Hospital and Life Management Center are crisis stabilization units.
Okay.
Okay, so we're like the ER of the psychiatric world. So when you go to the ER, you're in crisis. You're in a medical emergency.
So that's an acronym, Crisis Stabilization Unit, just for the community.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that an acronym?
That
okay.
Is, yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
So in the ER world, so I'm in a medical crisis. I need to get stabilized before they can start treating medically what's going on with me, right?
Mentally stabilized.
Yep.
Well,
so
emotionally.
Yeah, that's the same way. So we're still talking about the ER. So in the behavioral psychiatric world, it's the same way. We can't get to the root of the problem if you are still in crisis. So our first job in inpatient is to get you stabilized. So to get you out of that crisis mode, put that fire out, so to speak, and then we can start getting to the root of the issue, the root of that problem, and start that rebuilding process.
Okay.
Whatever that issue is, that process can start inpatient. And then we also have outpatient programs that we can talk a little bit later.
When you say inpatient, can you explain inpatient, what that looks like? Is that long term, the 30 days I was talking about, or 90-day programs? You hear some people. What's the difference between inpatient versus residential?
Right. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about that a little bit before. If you're not in this industry, if you're not very familiar with it, the difference of inpatient acute stabilization versus residential would sound very similar.
Mm-hmm.
In our world, they are quite different. In the eyes of insurance, they are quite different, and your length of stay are going to be quite different. For inpatient in Florida, you can be admitted both voluntarily and involuntary, and in Florida, that's called a Baker Act. And you have to meet specific criteria to be admitted under a Baker Act. Amy can't just come in and say, well, you know, Craig's a danger to themselves, and then they're going to come, you know, commit me and take me away. They have to have evidence that is, you know, happening, and then they're going to bring you to, and then if law enforcement does put you on a Baker Act involuntary admission, you're going to come to us. That doesn't mean you guaranteeing admittance. So you're still, that person is still going to be evaluated by a person in our assessment specialist to make sure that there is the criteria there to be involuntary admitted into our hospital. So that's just voluntary versus involuntary. We can talk about that a little bit more if you guys would like. Inpatient versus residential long term. So our typical stay in Florida, a Baker Act involuntary admission is 72 hours. Okay. That does not mean that we are going to hold you for definitely 72 hours or mm-hmm. that we can't hold you longer than 72 hours. But that means that if you are better and out of that crisis in 48 hours mm-hmm. and you're ready to leave, we can discharge you in 48 hours. It doesn't have to be 72, vice versa. At the end of our 72 hours, if you're still like, yeah, as soon as y'all let me out of here, I'm going to go run out in the middle of traffic and commit suicide. Yeah. Well, then that is criteria so that we can extend that. Mm-hmm. But then, we have to have that criteria. We have to present that to a judge mm-hmm. and everything. And then they make that ruling and they either side and say, yes, you do have that criteria. They're going to need to stay. And then we continue having those. Or they say, no, this person needs to leave. And that has happened too. And then we release them. So our length of stay, typically on average at Emerald Coast, is 5 to 7 days.
Okay. In my understanding, I was talking to some friends of mine this weekend in the medical field here, and they were just saying they've seen in the last few months in our community more youth being Baker acted here in Gulf Coast. Have you seen that trend? And how often do you see Baker acting? Is it adults, children, everyone?
Yeah, I think and we should just go ahead and talk about
do
the
you
Baker
see
Act
an increase
yeah.
in that.
Yeah, so just real quick. So, okay. But the residential is long term. So you're like you said earlier, 30 days more. So you are living there 30 days. But you're well out of that crisis mode. You still can't be in a crisis mode and go to residential because it's considered a lower level of care than inpatient crisis stabilization.
Okay.
So that's kind of the big difference between the two. You've got to be more stable and ready for that residential program. And PTSD,
psychosis,
trauma,
those type of things,
chemical dependency, alcohol dependence, drug dependence. Those are longer treatment disorders that we have to treat there at residential. Inpatient, it's a little bit stabler, and then we're going to get you down to intensive outpatient, your outpatient provider, whether that's traditional therapy, counseling, or psychiatry and seeing a psychiatrist or a psychologist. So that's kind of how that works for us. So the kids, I knew that was going to come up today. Yeah. It's a big topic in our area.
We've heard it in the news a lot, and exactly. I think I know I've been in meetings where we talk about how many children were Baker Act in for the month and how the numbers are either, going down or going up, depending on what's happening in the community.
Right, and we're concerned, of course.
Absolutely, and rightfully so. We've got to look out for our youth, and it has been very prevalent in the news and a topic of discussion since Hurricane Michael.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think I really heard it before the
exactly.
hurricane.
This is not a new issue. It's been going. We've seen these numbers climbing for I started at Emerald Coast in 2013. Mm. Since then, every year we've seen the numbers climb.
And your website has some great statistics. I'm just going to read two that apply to this. 4 million children and adolescents in this country suffer from a serious mental disorder that causes significant functional impairment at home, at school, and with peers. You also have another one, 50%. Of all lifetime cases of mental illness begin by age 14 and 75% by age 24.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's substantial. And like we were talking about before, healthcare, all healthcare, the earlier you can catch it, whatever it is, whether it's physical health or mental health, the earlier you catch it and start treating it, the more likelihood you are for success. If you put it off, and I was telling them earlier, it's like a snowball. It's like a ball. Once it gets rolling downhill in healthcare, it's very hard to stop it. And not just stop it, but now we got to get pushing that rock, that ball, that whatever, back up the mountain. So mm-hmm. now we had to stop it, and now we got to get you back to where you were, and we're further down the hill. So the earlier you can catch this, you can get treatment in adolescence, the more likelihood for success, for them understanding that disorder, and before it really snowballs on them and gets out of hand. I know everybody's done it. they're just being a teenager, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, a lot of them are just being a teenager. But I would say, you know, maybe err on the side of caution, especially if it's something that is prolonged, that you're seeing mm-hmm. it for a prolonged time with them and it kind of seems out of norm for them. Your kid, think back to when you were a kid. Your kids aren't going to open up and talk to you most mm-hmm. of the time. They're not going to be honest with you about what's going on, about how they're truly feeling. Take them to a professional, leave the room, and let them open up with that professional to find out what's going on. Maybe you're exactly right. Maybe it's just nothing. They're being an adolescent.
Yeah.
But, hey, now you've got that peace of mind, too. They're okay. Maybe they do have something going on. Now we've got it diagnosed. We're treating it. We're getting help with it before it snowballs on them.
And you say you're treating it. So what are some of the treatments or therapies that you guys are known for in this community at Emerald Coast Behavioral Hospital?
Inpatient or outpatient?
When you say inpatient, what are some of the things that you do that mm-hmm. are different from some of the other agencies in town?
Yeah, so,
why you guys?
Yeah, so, you know, one is my CEO, Tim Bedford, and our medical doctors there do a great job of finding different treatment modalities, okay? And treatment modalities is just how we treat different disorders, right?
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of different things at Emerald Coast, and we'll talk about each one, you know, or some of those big things that we do. But the reason that we have a lot of different treatment modalities is not everybody wants to sit down and talk one-on-one.
Sure.
That's not everybody's cup of tea. They don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was the only way we did treatment, we would be doing a huge disservice to our patient and to our community.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we reach those people that don't want to sit down and talk? So that's where we get the different treatment modalities in. So we do CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, DBT, dialectic behavioral therapy. So you can look those up if you would like. When we started this, I am marketing. So I know exactly what we do at Emerald Coast. I know about the services, but I am not clinical. So and then, you know, we do, you know, prolonged exposure. We do EMDR. So we can talk about those. But
an EMDR acronym, what does that mean?
So it's rapid eye movement desensitization.
Okay.
And what that is used is to treat PTSD traumatic events. Okay. So a lot of people in the past have used prolonged exposure. What prolonged exposure is I've got to come in. I've got that's a talking piece of it. I got to come in every day and I've got to talk about this event that happened. And we're going to talk about it for 15 minutes, 30 minutes. And we're going to run through every detail. How does it make you feel? It's very taxing on the individual, the patient.
Uh-huh.
It is very positive because emotions are like a glass, right? We got to empty it.
Exactly.
How we empty it is by talking about it and everything like that. Eventually the glass will overfill. So it is a great therapy, but
not for everyone.
But not for everyone. It takes a long time, prolonged. So it takes a little while to have effectiveness. And then if you're thinking about a therapist from a facility standpoint, I don't just have one patient. You know, I probably have anywhere from 8 to 10. So now I don't have to hear that from that one patient. I have to hear about that traumatic event over and over from a lot of my patients because we have a military resiliency unit here mm-hmm. where we have active duty service members, a lot of combat trauma. Okay, so that's that. So EMDR, the rapid eye movement desensitization, uses lights. Sorry. I knew I was going to do it. I hit the mic. I'm a hand talker. We talked about it. So it uses a light and you follow the light and then you kind of talk about what's going on while that happens. It's much more complicated than that, but fantastic results allows us to treat it in a much shortened period of time. Okay, so that's one aspect. And so we have mindfulness techniques, what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is put tools in your toolbox. Okay. We can't always be there. Your therapist can't always be there.
You have
night
support
and
groups
day.
Also.
Yeah, so but those people, like, I'm in charge of my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't have people there all day, every day, holding my hand. So what I have to do is we have to empower you. We have to teach you how you manage these. So when we were talking about the anxiousness example earlier, so we handle our anxious different from you. So let's say in this example, so maybe we would teach you some mindfulness techniques, breathing techniques, how to calm yourself. There's other ones where, you know, I've got to find four blue things in the room. So I'm going to look around. All right, your dress, the sound, you know, the sound deadening stuff, that blue wall there, that table. What it does is gets you focused off of whatever is causing the anxiety and more in the moment. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're trying to do is empower you. And then that, along with medication management, is going to go hand in hand. One isn't going to fix the issue by itself, right? They go hand in hand. And that's kind of what we do, medication management with a therapeutic approach. And that's going to give us our best chance for long-term success. We also do, we have TMS, we do acupuncture, we do rec therapy, so art, music therapy. We have a yoga person that comes in, so they're teaching you yoga and breathing with that.
So many different modalities, exactly. Like you said, but the difference we do want to state is that a psychiatric hospital does write prescriptions.
Yes,
ma'am. We do want to say that. That's the difference between psychiatric and a psychologist. A psychologist is mostly doing modalities that are more clinical, but that do not entail writing a prescription. So I do want to make that, you know.
So yeah, psychologists typically, they're going to do like your psychological testing. Right. Do you have ADD, ADHD, or other disorders, you know, and they diagnose with that. And then, you know, like a therapist, you could talk to them, you know, and they're going to help you work through that event and everything like that. But yes, if you need medication, that is going to be a psychiatrist is that who you're going to see. So thank you for expounding on that. I sometimes forget to expound on that when you're differentiating between some of those things.
Right, because a lot of people in the public, I've noticed, really don't understand that differentiation at all.
Yes, ma'am.
And so they think that every time they go to get help with anxiety or depression, that it's going to be someone that may give them meds. No. It is not. You can just go and, like you said, get the tools of mindfulness and yoga and some of the other modalities that you're using and not worry about, you know, being put on some heavy drugs.
Yeah. And we even have a pet therapy. So we have a pet therapy, a dog that is at the hospital Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 because he goes home with me. So he's on my schedule.
Okay.
But he's a yellow lab. He's 3 years old. His name's Irwin. And so his job there is just to lift morale. Uh-huh. That's all he's there for is really just to be a dog, to let people love on him and hug on him and feed him some treats, probably more treats than he needs. But, you know, really is just there for both patients and staff. You know, when you're there, especially if you're a pet person, a dog person, whoever, you know, you're away from your pets, your people, you know, your animals, your loved one there, you know, for 7 days. And then our military are there for 30 plus days. It's tough for them. You know, they've left that companion at home. And so for Irwin to go there, they just love him. We've got a courtyard. They get to play Frisbee with him and just, you know, just love on him.
Lighten
really.
Up a little bit.
I think I remember, too, reading when Irwin started,
yes,
and how he – I loved the statement of how he helps with inpatient, too. Sometimes when they're having their evaluation, Irwin can sit in on inpatient evaluations. I think that's what
so
I
he
like.
So he spends time at both our inpatient and outpatient. So, you know, if somebody is anxious in assessment, usually it's the, you know, kiddos because we do see kids. You know, so – our admission staff will call us and be like, hey, you know, can you bring Irwin in here? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. So we bring him in there, just let them hug on him, pet him for a while. And then, you know, typically, like for our military, if they're working on something in an individual setting, you know, very traumatic things like that, he can go in there in settings like that. The only setting we don't really let him in is like our big group settings, because when there's everybody wants
people.
Him, and they're not focused on what's actually happening in group. They just want Irwin to come by them. So it's individual, or just let them kind of be there in their rooms.
Let Irwin do what Irwin does best.
What he does. So yeah, it's been awesome. And that's really the big thing is we really just, one, want you to be as comfortable as you can in a hospital facility setting so that we can get to getting you better.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's really, you know, yeah. I mean, the point of the podcast too is to help with some of these mental health or behavioral health stigmas. And like you were saying, you know, a psychiatric hospital or something like that has negative connotations.
I love behavior.
And so, you know, just knowing how, you know, with your mission to provide comfort and all the different modalities that you have is, I just think it's really terrific.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like we were saying earlier, unfortunately, there is a huge stigma in mental health, and you know that's one thing we really want to try to end and educate on mental health awareness, and kind of get it out of that darkness. Mm-hmm. That and like I was saying earlier, I hate when I hear people say the word crazy.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Life is tough. It's is difficult. Don't let anybody tell you it's all sunshine and rainbows because it's not. It's tough. And if somebody says they've never had a tough day, I'll show you somebody that's lying to you. And life is full of peaks and valleys, right? It is. It comes and goes. You're never always going to be up and you're never always going to be down. But other people's valleys are deeper than others. Mm-hmm. And some people need help getting out of those valleys. And that's where we're at. That's what we need. Sometimes life is just hard. It's tough. And you just need a professional to talk to and help. I know where to go, but if somebody wants to talk to me in a therapeutic setting, yeah, I work in this industry, but I'm not who you need to talk to. I haven't been clinically trained in that aspect. So, that's the difference.
And what type of insurances and things, like if someone said, you know what he's talking about, I do feel in crises. Mm-hmm. And how do they reach out? What type of insurance? Do you have services available for people with insurance and also for people that may not have insurance available but are, going through mental health crises?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it differs a little bit between inpatient and our outpatient. Okay. Inpatient, there are services in Bay County, one at Emerald Coast and Life Management Center. For people that do not have insurance. Mm-hmm. And yet we take both at Emerald Coast. If we only took, yes, we are a hospital, and our number one priority is obviously the health and well-being of our patients and our community. We are also a business. Mm-hmm. I do have to make money, and I do have to pay my employees and pay to keep lights on.
Yeah.
So, having said that, we do treat everyone in there that can come in, whether they have insurance or not. So if you need psychiatric care, inpatient care, you can come to Life Management Center. You can come to Emerald Coast.
Now, does Life Management send you referrals because you keep referring to them? Are you
partners?
We have
a great partnership.
Okay.
Now, we are different entities, but we have a great partnership. Both of us, all we want is for Bay County to be as healthy as possible. And what is going to be the best for that patient? The main difference is we are private. Emerald Coast is owned by UHS, Universal Health Services. And Life Management Center is that crisis stabilization unit, that local CSU. So we're 86 beds, and they have they got 16, and they get get funding from state and local government to treat that uninsured charity care of our population. That's 16 beds for six counties.
Yeah.
So if it was all up to just them, they would be overwhelmed.
Right.
So Emerald Coast obviously helps pick up a lot of that as well. We do, we get a lot of uninsured charity care there, and they get treatment just like the people that have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, TRICARE, VA, your commercial insurance as well. And then we don't send anybody to collections because somebody that is, been in a mental health disorder could easily be pushed back over the edge, whether that's a $50 bill or a $5,000 bill.
Right.
So we just, we eat that cost a lot of the time. So, So it's just balancing that. And then, you know, we do take all major insurances as in an inpatient setting, all the managed Medicaid. So that's like Staywell, WellCares, Magellan, stuff like that. And Access Behavioral is a big one up here. And then, you know, all your commercial insurances, the Cignas, the Aetnas, the Blue Cross Blue Shield. We take VA, TRICARE, both for active duty and the dependents. So basically we take it all. And then, you know, we have some people that sometimes they don't want to file insurance. They pay for it themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's really up to the person what is best for the patient. That's the ultimate name of the game. The ultimate goal is to get them to the best place that patient is going to have success. Like I said earlier, there are other facilities in the panhandle. You've got two in Pensacola. Baptist is West Florida. You've got one in Fort Walton Beach Medical Center. You've got us in Life Management Center here. And then you've got two in Tallahassee as well. We all have adult inpatient Baker Act, voluntary and involuntary patients. But we all also have little specialty units and specialty treatment areas. Like us and Baptist have a kids unit. Mm-hmm. Fort Walton Beach is adults only. West Florida Hospital has a senior adult unit.
Oh.
That's the only one in our panhandle.
Okay.
So, you know, so we all have our little, we have a military resiliency unit.
Yeah, I did want to ask you about
that. Yeah, so 30 beds for active duty unit, active duty service members only. We get them from, you know, all over the Southeast, all over the U.S., and really all over the world. We've got them from, you know, Afghanistan, Germany, you know, Korea, you know, wherever our troops are deployed, they can send them here and send them to us. And Emerald Coast has a great reputation working with our military. Our doctors, our therapists, our nurses on that unit have experience. Either they were in the military themselves, mm-hmm. or a dependent of a military member. So they know that military lifestyle. They know the pressures that are put on our military service members.
Yeah.
So that's a specialty unit in itself that no one else in the panhandle has. So we all have those little kind of specialty things.
And does that stay full around here? What are we seeing? What, like, in the groups, like, what patterns are you seeing in our community?
Yeah, so and so the ultimate goal is just to get the person to where is going to be best for them. Mm-hmm. And so what's the info? The inpatient, the military unit, or just us as a whole?
As a whole, like after, you know, we've had such rough years.
Yeah,
after the pandemic, after, you know, the hurricane, what patterns have you seen in the last 3 years that were different prior to that?
Yeah, and like we were talking about earlier with the kids, you know, our population's gone down. You know, we did lose some of our population after the hurricane. And the overall numbers are very similar to what they were right before pre-hurricane.
Okay.
So the number itself is very similar right there with what it was. Okay. The percentage is up.
Because
if I lose a certain percent of my population, but my numbers are still remaining the same,
it's a higher percentage.
Yes. So semantics, I know, but it does matter because, you know, so I just like to kind of clarify what is specifically up. The amount of Baker Acts are up, but that doesn't mean the admissions into my hospital are up because we still got to meet criteria. Even those kids that are Baker acted by Bay County Sheriff's, Panama City, any law enforcement officers or at Bay District Schools, in anyone that's been put on our Baker Act, they are still going to have an assessment from an assessment specialist, a therapist or a nurse. And then they are going to meet with my psychiatrist to determine, yes, this person needs to be admitted into the hospital. So just because law enforcement puts you on a Baker Act does not mean you are guaranteed admission into my hospital.
Okay, that clarity is needed.
Yeah.
So we do get a lot of those Baker Acts by, you know, that come to us and Life Management Center that do get rescinded. Okay, and so that's when you take away a Baker Act and you're free to go home. There's also another organization. It's affiliated with the Life Management Center, and it's called Mobile Response, MRT. It's a mobile response team. It's headed by Life Management Center and Bill Spivey. His wife was Ellie Spivey. She was the principal at Patronus forever. So very familiar with working with the kids and everything. So a lot of times they can call, the school can call MRT. They will get, MRT will get permission from the parent to speak to the student. And then they will do an evaluation before that kid ever leaves school. Is this on the up and up? Do they need behavioral health services? And then if they meeting with that kid, they're like, okay, yes, I think they need to go. So then they can come to Emerald Coast and they're still going to have another evaluation and, and make sure. Or MRT can say, no, I think maybe they were just being a kid and just didn't think about what they said. And but the great thing about that is if they, you know, okay, no, they don't need to be put on our bay crack. But that's not the end of it. So then MRT follows them for 72 hours, checks in with them, and makes sure that they're okay, they didn't decompensate or anything didn't happen in the middle of the night, everything like that. So it's a great organization. It's a great asset.
Just a great process for
It's really good.
For
and we've had other counties come here and kind of take that back. They're doing it in Pensacola now. I know Destin and Fort Walton Beach are looking at implementing something in that Okaloosa-Walton County area.
Kenny Chisholm with
that?
Because we were really impressed. We weren't aware. We love him too. And we were really impressed when he came in and shared about all the social workers that were put at every school. And that I think he hired 30 new social workers.
The triad teams.
And so is this the MRT? Is that something that the triad also work with? I was just
wondering. It's not under triads, but it's similar. It does fall under that.
Model.
The triads is Bay District Schools. MRT is like Management Center. But I mean, we all work hand in hand for the betterment of the student and the patients there. So yeah, you know, Ken's great and what they're doing. Services are only needed more and more in our schools. That need isn't going away. If you've never watched any documentary you watch, watch it with an open mind. Because there's always bias in any documentary you watch, right?
Yeah.
So, but there's a great documentary that was done last year on Netflix, and it's called The Social Dilemma.
I have not watched it yet.
Yeah, this is your homework. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Right, watch The Social Dilemma. So one, it talks about Facebook, social media, the polarization of, you know, which the state with politics, right? Left and right. You're wrong. You're all socialist comedy, you know, and you're Nazis, you know, and the, whatever it is that they're just always, you know, bickering at each other. But it's created polarization, okay? And yeah, that's pretty obvious. If you get on Facebook, you can see, especially if you got it on around the election, right? That's very obvious of the polarization of politics. But what isn't as obvious is maybe the impact of social media on our teens and adolescents. Because so they kind of start with that and how social media grew and how the news feed grew and targeted ads and how they keep you scrolling through that news feed. Okay. So very interesting stuff, but doesn't really pertain so much to what we're talking about. At the end, I think it's like the last 30 minutes. So if you want to skip to that, you can. But it's a good movie, good documentary. And the last 30 minutes is really talking about teens and social media and mental health and how much that's increased since 2013 is when I think they go back, and I think that's when Facebook went mainstream. When I got Facebook in 2008-09, you had to have a college
association, right?
Yeah, you had to have a college email. So you had to use your EDU email to get Facebook. So it was a way of networking with your friends, staying in touch from high school and everything. It was a great concept. It was like, this is amazing. Well, now it's grown into this and morphed into this whole other thing. But it talks about how much suicide and mental health is up in adolescents, and specifically adolescent females, since 2013. And it's been a little while since I watched the documentary, but roughly they said teen suicide attempts, teen mental health issues are up like 1,000% since 2013. So you're not even talking about a 10-year period. You're talking 8.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I mean, that's alarming. That is very alarming. And I'm not saying, you know, get your kids off social media. You know, you make your own decisions. But that's 5-8 years from now, from then. 10, 20 years, 30 years, 40, what are the long term? I can't answer that. I don't know.
Well, but especially with all these new social media outlets coming.
Snapchat, and I mean, it's not going
TikTok
away.
Yeah, and it's not
going away. And they're always going to find those new things. And I just urge parents to know what your kids are downloading, talking to, who they're talking to, you know, to stay in their kids' lives, because there's a lot, you know, no more was it when we grew up, you know, your parents knew all your friends, right? Like, because they all live within,
they
like,
did.
A block.
They came over.
Yeah, you know, they're like, how'd you find your friends back in the day? You know, the house with all the bikes, that's where everybody's
at,
you know? And so your parents knew
pool.
Everybody. Or the pool, yeah, right? And so now you can have friends all over the country, all over the world, and you don't know if they're kids. You don't know who they
it's
are.
Scary.
You know, and so like the world has changed. The world got the world was big before. Mm-hmm. You know, now the world's gotten a lot smaller because it has just it's brought everything to our fingertips. And whether that there are a lot of positives to that, there mm-hmm. are mm-hmm. there are a ton of positives to that. There's also negatives, and that's with anything, right?
But that's where we see all that anxiety mm-hmm. coming from, because even with the adult, the constant beeping, the constant engagement has everyone jumpy and jittery a lot of times just from this technology.
Oh, yeah.
And you even see adults say, oh, my God, I lost my phone. They'll go in a withdrawal mode if they lose their phone for 30 minutes,
leave your phone at our house for a day. And feel how weird it feels.
Mm-hmm.
You almost feel naked.
Yeah.
Like you're missing a part of you, right?
Do.
You know, like I don't have my arm today, you know? I left it at the house. And that's how it is. And, you know, and after I watched that Social Dilemma, I was like, all right, I want to see how long I can go off social media. And I made it like 4 days without scrolling in. But I would find myself reaching for my phone in between, you know, like you send a couple emails, you're working, you got a couple minutes in between, you know, before a meeting starts, and like, well, I'll just hop on Facebook for 5 minutes, you know, or a couple minutes. And it's just, I would find myself reaching, I'm like, no, no, stop. And, you know, they got me hooked in. So, you know, it's just being aware, anything in excess can be bad.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just managing those things, those expectations, being aware of what's going on with you. And I just urge people, you know, to just talk to somebody, get help, especially, you know, first talk to somebody. But if that'll help, because like I was saying, glass is a half, you know, is your emotions are like a glass, right? You've got to empty them. You got to talk to people. If you just keep everything bottled up all the time, it's going to overflow eventually. So talk to somebody. And then, you know, if you're still feeling anxiousness or whatever, like, please go talk to somebody. Does not mean you're crazy. Does not mean, you know, you have, you know, significant issues or whatever. You just need somebody to talk to. That's all that means. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're social people. We've all found that out from the pandemic, right? Being isolated is not good for us. We are social creatures. We are. Even the introverts that don't want to do it still need some socialization. They do.
And the nice thing, you're talking to someone that's objective, that's outside of your situation.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes we all need that.
Sometimes we need to hear the truth rather than what we want to hear.
Exactly.
Right? It ain't always what we want, but that, you know, sometimes it's what you need.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, no, that's a great point. I did want to talk just real quick. I know we're kind of wrapping up, and then we could, you know, answer if you guys have any other questions. But the difference between some of the services that Emerald Coast has, because we talked a lot about inpatient, and there's a lot that goes on in that. And if you ever have any questions about any services Emerald Coast has, services in our community, you can call 850-763-0017. That is the main number for Emerald Coast. Or you can go to emeraldcoastbehavioral.com. That's our website. Has a lot of information on there, a lot of different services that we have. But our job is one to help you, both from maybe a treatment facility or help point you in the right direction. So if you need to know about, you know, what's out there, getting linked up with a therapist, who does specialty things, reach out to us. My name's Craig Segrist. I do marketing for us. I kind of know what a lot of the people's specialties are, who takes interest. reach out. Ask for Craig. They'll transfer you over to me. I'm happy to help anyone, anytime, and really just explain their process. But the difference between inpatient and outpatient. So Emerald Coast has several outpatient locations. So we do have our inpatient hospital where we do inpatient treatment only here in Panama City.
Okay.
1940 Harrison Avenue. Okay, so specific criteria you have to meet to be admitted in that hospital.
And that's your 86.
That's the 86-bed unit that treats as young as 5 years old all the way to senior adult. So we have kids and adolescents, adults. We have a veterans unit, first responders unit. That's 8 beds. We call it our trauma care center, so veterans and first responders. And then we have our 30-bed military active duty unit.
And just to expand, I just wanted to hit, you also do the military sexual trauma, trauma-related illness, combat trauma, mental health disorders, crisis. And we talked about, we defined what in crisis meant and looks like, and substance abuse.
Yes, ma'am. So that's inpatient. So outpatient, you do have to meet criteria to be admitted, but in outpatient, we don't do traditional therapy. Sit down and talk. We don't really do medication management that you can come in. Hey, I just need to see a psychiatrist for 15 minutes and get medications prescribed. They're part of our program. So what we have is we have 3 centers. We have one here in Panama City located right next to the hospital at 201 East 19th Street. And then we have one in Fort Walton Beach, and that's on the north part of Fort Walton Beach, close to Fort Walton Beach Medical Center, in between Fort Walton Beach Medical Center and Eglin Air Force Base, and it is located at 2004 Lewis Turner Boulevard. And then we have our last one is in Mariana. And it is, I don't remember the house number. It is it is on Mahon Drive in Mariana, and that one's called Blue Springs Outpatient Center.
Okay.
The other is Okaloosa Outpatient Center in Fort Walton Beach, and then Emerald Coast Outpatient. What they have at those settings is, like I said, we don't do medication management, that individual therapy approach. We have programs. So it's called Intensive Outpatient Program, or PHP, which is Partial Hospitalization Plan.
Okay.
Or a partial hospitalization program. So the IOP, you come to us for 3 hours a day, 4 to 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
We do group work. We talk about it. We have our therapist, our social worker in there leading the groups, talking about it, expanding, teaching you those tools to put in your toolbox, those mindfulness approaches, things like that. Then they're going to meet with our psychiatrist at minimum once a week. To do that medication management, make sure everything is going okay. So the idea of it is it can use both preventative. So these people need a higher level of care than traditional therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can use it as that. But they don't maybe don't need inpatient yet, right? Because we have a specific criteria we have to meet for that. So we can use it as that kind of in between.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the goal is we can get them headed back on the right track, right?
So they're not quite far down the hill as maybe they
would
be. We're
maybe like halfway, you know,
and
we can stop the decompensation, get them stable, get them good, get them working on the issues, and get them back going the other way. So that's that way. Or we can use it as a step-down model coming from inpatient.
Mm-hmm.
So you go from a very structured environment in the hospital where all your life stressors are outside.
Probably no phone.
Yeah, no, definitely no cell phones. Now you do have phones that you can talk to your loved ones and everything like that. And we do have ability to do Zoom calls and everything like that with their loved ones if they want. But, you know, is you get back in the environment, into your community, into the stressors of life. And maybe it's hard to remember all those skills that we taught you in there. And you kind of get overwhelmed again. So we can kind of step you down to IOP and help ease you back into the community. And IOP is, let's say, they can be that crutch for you to lean on. Your leg's healed. It's better, but it's not ready for you to go run a mile.
Support.
You still need a little help, a little support. So that's what IOP is there for, to help support you. And then once you're done with that, then you can go back to your traditional therapist, traditional psychiatrist, psychologist, whoever that is. So like I was saying, the IOP is 3 hours a day, 4 to 5 days a week for about 4 weeks. So it's what's going to determine that is, one, the patient, what can they do, work, schedule, stuff like that, what where what is the severity of what's going on, and then two, their insurance is going to decline that. So inpatient, what we were talking about before, also what I expect is we will treat anybody that needs services. Outpatient is like going to your therapist, your primary medicine doctor. Mm-hmm. You do have to pay for that. So you either have to have the means to pay for that yourself, or insurance that will cover the outpatient. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to clarify on that real quick. So the IOP is that's mental health or substance abuse, one or the other. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I either have mental health issue or I've got a chemical dependency issue, and that's both of them are 3 hours a day.
Now, how about people that are mm-hmm. both?
Yep. So that's PHP. So Those people is what we call dual diagnosis or co-occurring. So I've got one and I've got the other. So mm-hmm. a lot of people, you know, right, you self-medicate. You know, I'm feeling down. I'm feeling anxious. And so to help with how I'm feeling, my self-image issue, my anxiety, I turn to alcohol or drugs. And let's say, you know, I start with a bottle of wine. And that works for a little while. And then a bottle, but then my tolerance for that wine goes up, right? So mm-hmm. then a bottle of wine a night turns into two bottles and three bottles and then four bottles. And now you've got a full-on chemical addiction process. And guess what? That mental health issue didn't go anywhere. Right. It's like you threw gas on it. You know, so now it's going to come. You suppressed it, but it's going to come raging back. So now I've got both. Mm-hmm. So now I've got a mental health issue and I got my chemical dependency issue. But I got chemical dependency because of how I don't like how I feel. So those people are going to come to us all day. So they come to us in the morning time for 3 hours, and then they get like a little lunch break, and we'll give them lunch money because it's part of the program. So they can either have lunch with us and they can provide it, or we can give them, you know, we're not going to give you $40 to go to Outback and get a filet. But we're gonna, you know, you're also not stuck at McDonald's either, yeah. you know. So you can go get a lunch and get a break.
Yeah.
You know, process everything that works on. And then you come back in the afternoon and you do another 3 hours. And that's where we work on the chemical dependency issue. Same length of stay, same amount of days. You come about 4 to 5 days a week, about 4 to 4 or 5 weeks for the co-occurring. Just like with the IOP outpatient, you do have to have the insurance, and insurance will pay for it. So your commercials, your TRICARE, your VA. The state of Florida has changed their managed Medicaid. Before 2020, February of 2020, managed Medicaid in the state of Florida would not pay for any outpatient services, IOP, PHP. Jeez. They would only pay for inpatient, or they would only pay for like traditional therapy. Count.
Okay.
No in between.
You're once a week sort of.
But not everybody meets that. Right. You're trying to put square pegs in round holes.
Right.
And you're doing a disservice to the client, to the patient that needs the help. Why are you going to force everybody to go inpatient or not give somebody the help that they need? But you're not severe enough. When you decompensate more and you have a full-blown psychiatric emergency, then we'll pay for it. Then we'll get you help. So Florida's changed that. It's still got a long way to go to where it is on par with other states, but it's getting better, and we have the ability to get those people those services that they need.
Now, do you guys do a lot of lobbying on the state level for mental health?
UHS as a whole does. Mm-hmm. They have lobbyists. I mean, you know, we will work with our local government. Dr. Neil Dunn, I grew up with his son, Alex, and he's a champion of mental health, a champion of our community as a whole. Mm-hmm. He really fights for our people here in our area. He's a big advocate. And so people like that, yeah, absolutely. We're happy to talk to them. And if any of our local government people, you know, elected officials want information, want to talk to us, want to meet with us, our life management center, we are happy to do that. You know, something about our community that's different than others. And we got a lot of praise for it after mental health, after Hurricane Michael, is we have a lot of interagency meetings. Yes, sometimes it can get daunting because you have a lot of these meetings and, you know, you're trying to schedule them all. But what it does is it gets us all out of our silos, out of our departments, and working for the betterment of the community. And so we had been doing it for a long time before Hurricane Michael. So when Hurricane Michael happened, we all had each other's contacts. We were just like, let's meet. And, you know, we were meeting at the health department, at life management center, wherever we could. churches that were up and running, you know, missing half their roofs. But, you know, how can we get the people of our community, you know, mental health services? And that was something we got a really shout out from other late local state governments that came in to help. And we continue to have those. And something we have at Emerald Coast is the third Tuesday of every month. We have what we call a mental health summit. Anybody is welcome, but it's really more for facilities, agencies, mental health providers, law enforcement, local government. Like I was saying, get us out of our silos, talking about community issues, talking about how we can better help our community, our patients.
What's working, probably? Yeah, what's not exactly working?
What, you know, are we having issues?
So is this most of the med? Because we were looking for that. We were talking to some other agencies and wondering if you guys were meeting together. Is that most of the agencies in town, or is it a work
that's
in progress?
All of them. I mean, you know, are they all there every time, every meeting that we have? No, but, you know, but for the most part, everyone comes. Right. You know, us, Life Management Center. You know, Big Bend, DCF, you know, you've got the Children's Advocacy Center comes a bunch. You've got law enforcement that shows up. Some Bay Medical Center, their case manager, their Gulf Coast is a case manager. Bay District Schools, Ken Chisholm comes all the time. We've got Sandra Lee at Florida Therapy. You name it. If they're involved in mental health, they come, and you don't have to be involved. If you're seeing an issue that needs to be addressed in our community, come, let's talk about it. You know, Oxford House has recently, so they're a sober living facility. Mm-hmm. They've recently started coming, and joining. So we can never have too much information.
And when is that meeting? What time is it?
Yeah, so it happens from, it's at 8:30 on the third Tuesday of every month. And so I sent out an email about it. It's been happening via Zoom for the last year, obviously, with everything going on.
Boo. I'm teasing.
But we will have our first in-person meeting in over a year, and we're really excited about it. I haven't seen a lot of these people in a long time, and I enjoy working with them, colleagues and friends. And so Tuesday of June is, I want to say that's the 15th. So June 15th, it'll be at Emerald Coast Behavioral Hospital, 1940 Harrison Avenue at 8:30. Typically they run about an hour. And just, you know, updates about each facility, issues that are going on, and, you know, how can we work through those, and, you know, how can we help our community? You know, I think one thing a lot of people don't realize is for a long time, Bay County and Okaloosa County have ranked top in the state per capita in suicide. For a long time, Bay County was number two per capita. So that's the only county that was higher than us was not Hillsborough, but Dade County, okay. Miami. So that meant Bay County had a higher suicide rate than Pinellas, St. Petersburg, Florida, Hillsborough, Tampa, Orlando, Jacksonville, Tallahassee, Pensacola. All these major cities, we had a higher suicide rate, ranked second. A couple years ago, we flip-flopped. Okaloosa was third, and we flip-flopped. We went to third, and they went to second. One aspect of that is we have high military installations, bases in our area, a lot of veterans. You know, and yes, we do live at the beach, but it's, you know, not everybody lives on 30A. You know, it is low socioeconomic, you know, it's rural community. So a lot of issues go into that. However, you know, so 2020 numbers got released. And I believe Bay County fell down to like 27th. So substantial drop. You know, we had been really working on as a community, as organizations, of getting us out of our goal was, okay, let's get us out of that top five.
Yeah.
All right. And once we get out of top five, let's get a top 10, get out of top 10. You know, this is one who you don't want to be at the top at.
Right.
You know, and so for us to, you know, see that, you know, really meant a lot. It means that our community is healthier. It's doing better.
Well, we have so many great organizations in town working towards the same goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, that's really the name of the game of it, is to get the patient, the client link to the service that is going to best help them.
And I love all the partnerships that you're involved in. I see you're also a board member of NAMI,
yes, ma'am,
the National Alliance of Mental Illness. So it's just good to see that you're doing everything. You're connecting with everyone.
We're trying
to make sure you're getting this work done, Craig.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, we're trying to, because it does still have a stigma. And the more we can talk to people, the more we can be involved, that's the more people that we're going to reach and the better success chance that we're going to have. Mm-hmm. That really is just the name of the game, is to get them the help that they need. And I just urge you, you know, as a loved one, as a friend, or somebody that's dealing with these issues, I can't say it enough. Please just go talk to somebody, go seek help. If nothing else, you're good, you're fine, and you've got that off your clearance, you know, off your
check
chest,
that,
and
yeah,
know you're good. You know you're fine, and if not,
or your child is
is okay, and if not, doesn't mean anything's bad is happening. But now you've got it diagnosed, and now we got a plan of how to treat it. So that's the main goal, and they're doing great things there at Bates Schools of Kinchism and Florida Therapy Services and Life Management Center and Emerald Coast. So we've got great resources.
We do. Right. You know, Lori, Tasha, I mean, we got a lot of people really working out there here in Bay County, guys. We are very fortunate. We have experienced professionals that are on the cutting edge of research and new diagnostic modalities that, you know, they're using here in our community. Mm-hmm. We're very, very fortunate that we do have all this help and resources, really, you know, in the midst of a very challenging time. So
you're right. I mean, you know, life is, like we talked about, life is difficult at just with everything going normal, you know, and Bay County has not had things go normal in a little while. You know, hopefully we paid our tenants and we're
exactly
good for a little
our
while.
Lord.
You know, but, you know, the one thing I do have to say is I'm, you know, born and raised here, you know, went to high school here, and I love this community. And, you know, I'm really proud to live here and how we've come together. You know, everybody's lifted each other up, mm-hmm, neighbors helping neighbors, mm-hmm, agencies helping agencies, people helping people. That's the name of the game. And really, Bay County, you know, people give you a shirt off their back if you need it. If you need it, they will. And it's really made me love this community even more. Because we had it rough.
A lot of big hearts here.
There really are.
You know,
yes, ma'am.
That's it. Well, Craig, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Hearing all about Emerald Coast Behavioral Hospital and all the things. You're such a great speaker, and thanks for what you do for our community too. You're a piece of it.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know, your passion and energy for it is really apparent, and I hope everyone will, you know, just hearing it, and he is a hand talker, I will tell you that.
I had to sit here and hold my hands all the time. And still, I was like, all right, talk over here with your hands and don't hit the mic again. So yeah, it is difficult. I like to emphasize the hands. Thank y'all for you know, one, having this podcast and allowing people to come in and talk about it and just getting the word out. I really appreciate y'all letting me come in today. If you haven't heard some of the other podcasts, I urge you to go listen to them, because they're all fascinating, and they really all apply to us here in Bay County, right? And that's mm-hmm. the name of the game. That's kind of what this
that's
is
right.
all about.
It
so it's not, you know, it's not a podcast about, you know, somebody talking about what's going on in Boston that has no doesn't really apply to our area. So, you guys keep up the great work. You are doing awesome.
Well, thank you. Well, for more information about today's episode and other resources, visit our website, www.howyoudoing.org, or you can visit the Alignment Bay County Facebook page. And on our website, we do have the link to Emerald Coast Behavioral Hospital and our provider directory.
Friends, thank you for listening. After everything our community has been through, it's so important for us to check in on each other. When you see your neighbor, friend, coworker, whomever, we encourage you to take the time to ask them, how you doing?
How You Doing Bay County is meant for informational purposes only and should not be substituted for mental health care from a licensed professional. And last but not least, this podcast is produced by the talented students in the digital media program at Gulf Coast State College.